Welcome to AchieveCast, the podcast that tells the stories of the great works happening in Achieve communities across this country. I'm Dr. Tate Martin, and for the next couple of minutes, we'll be hearing how one community came together to make great things happen through Achieve. On this podcast, I had the opportunity to speak to Linda Colangelo from the Northeast Health District in Connecticut. In her Achieve community, they're working to increase physical activity with students and teachers.
Linda Colangelo from the Northeast District Department of Health. I am the Education and Communications Coordinator, and I am also the lead coach for HealthQuest Northeast Connecticut, which is our community coalition through the Health Department that was selected as an Achieve community.
As we began our conversation, I asked Linda to explain, how exactly do you sell the idea to increase physical activities in schools?
Well, we had to sell the idea of putting an initiative into our schools that would get administration, teachers, parents, students, the community at large, all on board to start the school day with a 10-minute walk. And as simple as that sounds, and as easy as you thought the concept would be to embrace by all of those groups that I mentioned, we have marveled at how difficult it is to actually institute that, what we consider a very small policy change. And that's because I think, you know, when you sit as a collective group, And again, you have people sitting around the table saying, well, we think this would be a good idea, and let's package this, and, you know, again, how can you get it out there and sell it? Sometimes, you know, we forget about the millions of details that go into the planning of a school curriculum, the simple planning of a school day just to get from start to finish. And if you take the approach that just assumes, you know, we could do this and we should do this and you know, let's get this in there and get it rolling quickly, I think you begin to set yourself up, if not for failure, at least for a little disappointment in that it is not going to go as quickly or as smoothly as you anticipate. With that said, for our Right Step School Walking Initiative, and we spell that WRITESTEPS, this is a program where the students and the staff start their school day with a 10-minute walk, so as not to take away from instructional minutes in the school day. The kids receive a walking topic to discuss on the walk, and it can be, you know, it's all academia-based, can be any topic whatsoever, math, science, history, geography. They talk about that topic while they're on the 10-minute walk, and then when they come back into their classrooms at a given point, they will journal about what that walking topic was. So the students now, at least in the Plainfield school system, have been creating these walking journals for the last 2 years. We have, again, the good fortune of having the superintendent of the Plainfield public school system on our HealthQuest coalition. And because she herself had fully vested in the environment of creating health and wellness in the schools, I always remember she used to say, you know, the health of the student has to come first, because if we don't have healthy students, our educational efforts will fall short. So the superintendent was on board, and she was the yes person. We pitched this idea to her to say, can we at least start it in a pilot school? And she said, let mine be it. Sure, we'll bring it in. The second thing was, we were fortunate to partner with Robert Sweetgall, who was one of the nation's leading recreational walking experts, who had a wonderful, wonderful message for students. He had walked across America back in the 80s, and you know, in his lifetime has walked across America the equivalent of 7 times. So, you know, here's a guy who did it, and he has a wonderful message that he brings to the students. So it started simple. We just organized a presentation to 1,000 students in the Plainfield school system. We brought Robert Sweetgall in. He gave a wonderful presentation and started the kids on a walk rally that day, and simply asked the teachers if they would commit to walking the end of the school year. We launched this program in May. He asked them to commit to do it to the end of the school year, which was, you know, mid-June. And if they didn't like it, if they didn't see that it had any impact at all, we would all go away very quietly. But if they did like it, they had the opportunity to now take the lead on this and bring it to become part of their school curriculum that following September.
Because of the choice, I was curious to find out if there were any participation issues with the teachers.
We had teachers who were naysayers. We absolutely had people who said, there's so much to fit into a school day. We absolutely can't do this. It's just one more thing, and we don't feel as though it's going to be successful. Nonetheless, they did agree to at least try it. We had parents who said, absolutely not. You're not going to force my child to walk, and I don't want my child to participate. And those children had to, you know, remain back in the classroom for the first perhaps few days or few weeks. What eventually started to happen was you saw the entire morphing of what became a simple suggestion to an initiative that has been so wholeheartedly embraced by the community. It really is one of those, you know, lifetime movies that you can write the script on. We had teachers who were naysayers that became the first ones that when it came time to talk about the school curriculum that following September said, the walk stays. You absolutely can't take the walk. I see that my students are so much more focused. I'm more focused starting the day because I've had 10 minutes of great, physical activity to just, you know, get me started and get me focused for the day. The parents, you know, started, the students themselves, mom, dad, everybody else is walking. Why can't I walk? It's not like you're asking me to take a competitive sport or anything like that. We're just walking in the morning. And the kids really started to take the lead on it as well. So selling the idea to the initial school, we had all of the usual challenges, you know, teachers that might not be on board, PTO members or staff or, parents themselves. But in a very, very short time frame, it's like anything else. In the food industry, they always say if you want to sell it, you have to sample it. It's the same thing. You have to sample it somewhere. You can't go in with this is a done deal approach. Let's go in. Let's try it for a day. Let's try it for a week. Let's try it for a month. And if you like it, now they feel as though they have ownership and they can bring it back and make it what they want. Selling it to other schools, what we've done is committed to bringing Robert Swigall back on a regular basis into our community, and that could be once or twice a year, and we try to get other schools involved. The Plainfield school system also received a ton of publicity about their walk, not only from the local media, but eventually their efforts started to become known on a regional basis, statewide basis, and eventually on a national level. Plainfield schools were awarded, they were the only school in Connecticut to be awarded a silver award from the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. They have been recognized for 2 years now as a proud member of the state of Connecticut's network called Healthy Connections, which is connecting children and youth to healthy, successful lives. So when that happens, that's kind of a, lead by example. And then other schools start to see that, and other students start to see that and say, well, gee, why can't we have that? Another thing I'll let you know about is even schools that, from a timing standpoint, cannot get involved, at this certain time because they're doing different initiatives or their programs are completely filled up, their curriculums are completely filled. What we see happening is when we bring someone like a Robert Swigall into our community, and he does a community-based event. The last time he was here, just a month or so ago, he did a Nordic walking clinic in one of our communities. A lot of teachers showed up to that from other communities, and they said, can we bring Robert Swigall to our school? Can we get him, to come? And what happens is you begin to see, as I said, these pockets of passionate people start to crop up for you. You start to network. You start to see champions who are willing to bring it to their school. So while we may not have our foot in the door in all 41 schools in our district, we're connecting to teachers and parents and PTO members that do.
I was then interested to hear Linda's take on What happens to a school that doesn't have the resources to bring a national walking expert like Robert Swigall? What do they do?
I always say, just look right at the end of your nose. It's what every mom, I think, offers when you're looking for something. Sometimes we feel as though, in order to, create a large population-based impact, we have to journey, halfway across the continent, find the speaker or find the person with the message, only to find our way back and say, you know what, there are probably a dozen people in your community right now, a dozen community people who can have tremendous impact with their personal stories. Maybe he's the local police officer who, had that stellar athletic career in high school. She's the executive director for your chamber who is also a triathlete. One of your PTO moms who had a very significant life-altering transformation in a very significant weight loss or a health and wellness-based initiative. Look at your local gyms. Look at your local Ys. Find the people who are committed to, who have adopted healthy lifestyles. Who is right in your community that has a great story that can impact lots of not only young lives, but the lives of those around you.
I then asked Linda, what are some of the things that you're seeing in the schools now that you've implemented the 10-minute walk?
Well, some of the data that we're seeing, and again, the schools have different ways in which they collect their data. Some of it is anecdotal. Some of it is actual hard copy, tracking of numbers and things like that. I can tell you in a broad fashion that our schools are seeing increases in productivity, in student focus. We are seeing increases in the Plainfield school system in the children's writing capabilities. The teachers are now have 2 years that they're able to compare to say, wow, and they're tracking these kids through the school system as well to say they're really seeing improvement in writing scores. The physical education instructor will tell you hands down that she has seen a tremendous increase in the amount of children passing the physical fitness component of Connecticut Mastery Test. But those numbers have been somewhat extraordinary in their level for both young boys and girls in passing those test scores. The disciplinary referral process, whether that's being tracked with things like, referrals to the principal, bus suspensions, in-house school suspensions, those numbers have come down significantly.
Before we ended the call, I asked Linda to give me a breakdown of the things that schools need to do in order to implement this policy.
I think initial steps for any community looking to do something like starting the school day with a 10-minute walk. Number one is to, again, look right beyond your nose and who exists in your community that could be potential champions of this type of initiative. Look to your PTOs. Look to parents. Look to your school superintendents and your principals. I will tell you that while it's the principals and superintendents that will drive the actual policy change, it does often start off as more of a grassroots effort if you want to get at least the people talking the talk. So perhaps it is a mom who says, well, you know what, I know somebody on the PTO. Let me talk to that person. And then that person may bring the principal to the table, and the principal will then bring the superintendent to the table. In our particular case, it worked the other way. We happened to have the superintendent on board with our coalition. She was very open to a health and wellness initiative for school. So she made it happen from a top-down approach. She just went in and said, I would like to see this happen in our schools. She brought the principals on board. The principals, in turn, brought the teachers, and the teachers brought the students. And again, that's not to say that it wasn't without its challenges. But sometimes when it's coming from the parents, coming from the students themselves, you start to pull together small little groups that say, we think this would be a good idea. And then find a school that's willing to pilot it for you. Even do it for a week, do it for a month, and track it, see what happens. Here's a wonderful thing that Robert Sweetgall told us. He said, go into a school that doesn't start the school day with a 10-minute walk, and see if you can get permission to take pictures of students as they're standing in the hallways, as they're coming in from the buses, as they're just beginning to start their school day. And categorize those faces that may seem, disengaged or, disinterested. You can pretty well categorize faces of, is this the start to a school day? Is this the face of what the start to a school day should look like? He said, then go to a school that has students coming in fresh off of a 10-minute walk and capture those faces, not only on the students, but on the teachers as well. And you see that physical difference, that energetic, lots of people smiling, lots of people talking, connecting with each other. There's a sense of community that's happening. And if you need to start with something as simple as that, like what does it look like as far as, people coming in with these vibrant, faces on them, that can help to kind of further give people that visual of just the difference there. So, again, you can start with these small pockets of people. Then you can organize a walk rally. Now, if you have the resources to reach out to somebody like a Robert Sweetgall, and if you don't, look for somebody in your community that's an avid walker and talk about the health benefits of walking. So you would organize a school presentation. It's far better when you can get all of the kids and all of the students together rather than just doing it on a classroom basis. So organize a student assembly, bring them a message of the health benefits of walking, and you tie that to a walk rally that you do that day, that you get the entire school walking. And that visual component of everybody walking together is really a beautiful moment.
As we were ending our interview, I asked Linda if she had any advice for schools thinking about putting this policy in place.
Just see how far your community will go walking the walk together.
I'd like to thank Linda Colangelo for explaining how Achieve got teachers and students walking in Northeast Connecticut. If you'd like to find out more about this or any other Achieve community, you can visit them online at www.achievecommunities.org. This podcast and all the other podcasts in the series were brought to you by the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. You can visit them online at www.chronicdisease.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Dr. Tate Martin. And until next time, let's all work together to make our communities healthier.